Hi everyone, welcome back to Daily Gospel Exegesis, where we take a look at the literal sense of the text from today's Gospel reading. And today, it's the memorial of Saint Martha, and so we're going to look at a text that relates specifically to her. This is the text which is read in most Catholic churches around the world on the memorial of Saint Martha. So, John chapter 11, verses 19 to 27. We'll read the text and then we'll have a go at interpreting it. What is the literal sense saying? Many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to sympathize with them over their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus had come, she went to meet him. Mary remained sitting in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatever you ask of God, he will grant you." "Your brother," said Jesus to her, "will rise again." Martha said, "I know he will rise again at the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believes in me, even though he dies, he will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she said. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who was to come into this world." So there is today's text. And the memorial of Saint Martha, it's a really interesting one. We don't often think about Saint Martha much. We often just think of the Mary and Martha incident where Martha has gotten a bit of a bad reputation from that incident, actually, because she scolds Mary, as you know, and then Jesus seems to tell her off in that particular incident. But here we see Martha in quite a different light. And there's not many feast days or special days on the Catholic Church's liturgical calendar where they require you to read the saint's official reading on that day. Usually they give you an option between the official saint's reading and the typical weekday mass reading. For the apostles, for example, you must read the official apostles' reading for that day, the feast day reading. But for most other saints, they're sort of considered to be optional readings. But St. Martha is one of those ones where most places around the world required to read this text. So that tells us that the Catholic Church places a strong emphasis on Martha. There's something about her that we need to pay attention to, and we're going to see it in today's reading. So what's the context of this passage? So Lazarus, one of Jesus' closest friends, in fact, the text here says, "The man Jesus loved." That's what the text calls Lazarus. And he's from Bethany. He has his sisters, Mary and Martha. So Lazarus has died and Mary and Martha are mourning his death. Verse 18, just before this, says Lazarus has been dead for 4 days already. Verse 19, many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to sympathize with them over their brother. So people are coming to comfort the family. And we know that in ancient Judaism, starting with the day of death of someone, they would count 7 days, and there was an official 7-day period of mourning for the deceased. During that 7-day period, the family would stay at home and neighbors would come and attend to them. So we know that that's the case, and here John's text strongly conforms to what we know about those mourning practices. Verse 20, when Martha heard that Jesus had come, she went to meet him. So Mary and Martha are good friends with Jesus, very close with him. In fact, it appears that Jesus stayed with them in the final week of his life. In that final week in Jerusalem, he'd do ministry every day in Jerusalem and then come back and stay with them in Bethany. And not only do they see him as a close friend, they actually strongly believe in him. They have genuine faith that he truly is sent from God. We often forget about Mary and Martha, but they are two of the most genuine believers in Jesus in the Gospels. So she meets him outside the city of Bethany, as we learn later on in this chapter. She runs to meet him outside the city, whereas Mary remained sitting in the house. So once again, Mary is sitting, which she's known for. So Mary stays mourning her brother, but she does come out to see Jesus later on, just not at the moment. So Martha arrives. Verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." So Mary and Martha had sent messengers to Jesus earlier about this matter. If you look at the start of chapter 11, they sent a message to Jesus telling him that he was at the point of death, and perhaps they expected him to come and heal him. So she says here, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now that could be a complaint. It's possible that she is complaining and that she's angry at Jesus. But it's also possible that she's just mourning that he wasn't there. She's sad that he wasn't there. But then she turns it around with the second half of this sentence. "But I know that, even now, whatever you ask of God, he will grant you." So here we see the true faith of Martha, and this is why the church places so much emphasis on her. She shows genuine faith in Jesus, even in the midst of extreme sadness. She says about Jesus, "I know that, whatever you ask of God, he will grant you." She never begs Jesus here. She just believes that God's love is powerful, and she knows that Jesus is the Messiah, the messenger of God. And so she leaves Jesus to handle the situation as he sees fit. So Martha has genuine faith. So Jesus says to her in verse 23, "Your brother will rise again." So notice this, Jesus has already decided that he's going to resurrect Lazarus. Even after this passage, he actually goes on to mourn him and he cries about Lazarus. But already now he has decided he's going to resurrect him, which is interesting. Jesus cries even though he knows that Lazarus is about to rise again. And there's a lot that could be said about that. Verse 24, after Jesus says, "Your brother will rise again," Martha says, "I know he will rise again at the resurrection on the last day." So the Jewish belief at the time was that all righteous people will rise again at the general resurrection on the last day. And that's well attested in the Old Testament. So that was the Jewish belief, which of course is correct from a Christian perspective. But she thinks that's the only time there's going to be a resurrection. So when Jesus says, "Your brother will rise again," she thinks Jesus is talking about the day of final resurrection. It was not part of the Jewish belief system that there will be individuals who rise before the general judgment day. They didn't believe that was the case. That wasn't even part of their thinking. And a lot of scholars and apologists have pointed out that's a good reason to think that Jesus' resurrection really did happen, because the Jewish belief at the time was not that any individual would rise again before the general judgment. And the fact that the apostles went around after Jesus' resurrection saying, "Jesus has risen again," that's a testament that Jesus really did rise again, because if they were going to make this story up, the other Jews would not believe them, because the other Jews did not believe that anyone would rise before the day of general judgment. So that's an interesting apologetic angle on this. Verse 25, Jesus probably detects that she's misunderstood there, so he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Very powerful statement that's echoed throughout the ages. So as you probably know, Jesus says 7 "I am" statements in the Gospel of John. This is his 5th one. "I am the resurrection and the life." So it seems to mean something like this: all resurrection and all life derives from me. That seems to be what Jesus means here by "I am the resurrection and the life." Now, that would turn out to be literally true, since we know that when Jesus resurrected, he made it possible for all others to resurrect as well. So it literally is true to say that Jesus is the source of all resurrection and all life. This is probably a claim to divinity: "I am the resurrection and the life," since in the Jewish view, power over life and death belonged to God alone. And that's clear from 1 Samuel 2 verse 6 and Wisdom chapter 16 verse 13. So Jesus here is probably making a subtle claim to be God. This life word is interesting. "I am the resurrection and the life." Some scholars have suggested that life here probably means the spiritual principle of life, which in the Gospel of John basically means participation in the divine communion. Jesus discussed this idea of spiritual life, eternal spiritual life, with the woman at the well. If you remember that discussion, he says, "I will give you living water that flows up to eternal life." It's the same word that's used there. And he uses a similar language in his discussion with Nicodemus. And he basically says, spiritual life is imparted through baptism to those who believe. And that's in chapter 3, verse 5. So this theme of life, spiritual life, as participation in the life of God is what keeps coming up. That's probably what Jesus has in view here. "I am the source of all spiritual life and communion with God." So if that's the case, Jesus is referring here not just to a future reality, as in he's thinking only of the future resurrection, which all believers will take part in, but he's also thinking of a present reality, a spiritual experience with God that all believers can experience. And that's a common theme in the Gospel of John. Jesus goes on, if anyone believes in me, now let's stop there. Belief in the context of the Gospel of John, when Jesus says, believe in me, he means to believe that he's the Son of God sent from heaven and to believe his teachings. It doesn't just mean believe that he exists. It doesn't just mean believe that he is Lord or something sort of vague like that. Jesus basically means an ongoing trust in his identity and words. That's what Jesus means by believe in me. It's an ongoing trust that he truly is the Son of God and that his words should be obeyed. If anyone believes in me, even though he dies, he will live. So this is a promise to believer. Anyone who believes in me, even though he dies, he will live. The teaching here is that those who remain in communion with God through Jesus will receive eternal life when they die. Interestingly, Jesus promised pretty much the same thing in the Bread of Life discourse in chapter 6. He said that anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, I will raise him up at the last day. So Jesus is revisiting that same theme. And then he goes on to say, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. So the basic meaning of this appears to be anyone who believes in me in this life will live forever in the next life. There could also be, as we said before, a kind of spiritual present reality that's in view here as well, not just a future reality. He then says to Martha, do you believe this? So Jesus is questioning her along the lines of, do you believe I can do these things that only God can do? So he wants to see if Martha has true faith. He asked a similar question to the blind man a couple of chapters before. In chapter 9, verse 35, he said to the blind man, do you believe that I can heal you? So he always prompts the other person to see if they have genuine faith. That's something he often does in the Gospel of John. Verse 27, Martha says, yes, Lord. And then she says this incredibly powerful statement. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who was to come into this world. So we often think of Peter's confession of faith. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, here, Martha says basically the same thing. You are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who was to come into this world. This is an incredible admission by Martha. She proclaims that she believes Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah. She's not ambiguous about it. She says, you are the Messiah. Very few people during Jesus' ministry are willing to proclaim this. And that's probably why the church insists that we have this reading on her feast day. She is the model of faith. She was quite certain that Jesus is the Messiah, and she was bold in her proclamation of that. So that's the end of the passage we have today. Now, the entire chapter 11 of the Gospel of John, which records the entire incident with Lazarus, spans about 40 or 50 verses. That entire thing is read on the fifth Sunday of Lent in year A. That's the main time when you'll hear that reading, the fifth Sunday of Lent in year A. Now, the chapter, unfortunately, is never read in small chunks during the weekdays, so we're not able to break it down in this podcast in the way that we normally can with the daily readings. So we'll go through the entire story of John chapter 11 as bonus episodes of the podcast. So if you want to hear an exegesis of the entire chapter 11 of the Gospel of John, please take a look at the Patreon page. If you're willing to give $10 a month or more to the ministry, which really helps the ministry grow and cover its basic costs, then you get access to all the bonus episodes where we go through an exegesis of passages which don't appear in the regular weekday cycle. So let's now turn to the Catechism. There's a few places where today's passage from John chapter 11 is referenced. The main one here is in paragraph 994, and this is about the progressive nature of the revelation of the resurrection. So it's this idea that Jesus only gradually reveals that he has come to raise the dead. Here's what it says. Jesus links faith in the resurrection to his own person. I am the resurrection and the life. It is Jesus himself who on the last day will raise up those who have believed in him, who have eaten his body and drunk his blood. Already now in this present life, he gives a sign and pledge of this, by restoring some of the dead to life, announcing thereby his own resurrection. though it was to be of another order. And the paragraph goes on from there. Paragraph 1001, again, this is about the resurrection, answering the question, when do the dead rise? The dead rise definitively at the last day, at the end of the world. Indeed, the resurrection of the dead is closely associated with Christ's second coming. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with an archangel's call, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So that whole section of the Catechism about the resurrection is really quite fascinating. Lastly, paragraph 439, this is about the title Christ. Many Jews and even certain Gentiles who shared their hope recognized in Jesus the fundamental attributes of the messianic Son of David, promised to God by Israel. And of course, the reference here is to Martha, who recognized that Jesus truly is the Christ, the Messiah. So that's it for today. Hopefully you enjoyed today's podcast and learned something new. We'll continue to move through the normal weekday readings in the coming days.